I'd be willing to bet that you're probably a reader. You're here now. That makes you a discerning, intelligent listener. And discerning, intelligent people tend to read. You might be surprised to learn what our MPs are reading and the books they love most. Today in Right Side Economics with Professor Andrew Lee, we're departing from our usual focus on new and interesting research in economics and talking instead about the books our Pollies read. It's one of Andrew's many research projects, and a particularly fascinating one too. Hello, Andrew.
Good morning, Richard.
Why did you want to find out what our political leaders read?
Well, Richard, it came out of a barroom argument, as the best research projects do, with my friend McGregor Duncan. We were reading a terrific article in the New York Review of Books talking about what Obama and McCain were reading in the 2008 presidential campaign. And it struck us that it might be an interesting question to look at in the Australian context.
So you, what, sent out a survey?
Absolutely. And sent out another survey and sent out another survey and phoned them and emailed them. And, you know, politicians are sort of hard to get hold of, particularly when it's the kind of survey that's difficult to pass off to a staffer. So a staffer might feel comfortable answering politicians' views on an issue, but not so much what the boss is reading at the moment.
So how many responded to the survey then?
So we've got about 40% responding to the survey, which isn't great, but by the standards of surveys of elite groups, we do pretty well.
What is interesting, looking through it, is that the politicians are obviously grappling with big policy issues like health reform and until now the ETS, but they are still finding time to read.
The best of them certainly are, whether it's that they're spending a lot of time on aeroplanes or simply that they realise the value that can be gotten from deep and continued engagement with books. We'd obviously like to think the latter. And in some sense, the more serious the politician, the more serious the reading matter.
Right. Well, let's have a look at what they're reading. Who are the favourite fiction authors?
So the top three fiction authors are Tolstoy, Harper Lee, and Tolkien. A little bit of grand sweep of history, racial sort of morality tale, and the great mythical Lord of the Rings.
And how does it divide up on either side of the house, as it were?
All of these are bipartisan books, so if a politician tells you that they're reading Tolstoy, Lee, or Tolkien, you shouldn't make any guesses to which side of the aisle they'll be sitting on. For example, Lindsay Tanner and Nick Minchin are both Tolstoy fans. Kate Lundy and Tony Abbott are both Tolkien fans.
What about non-fiction, Andrew?
Non-fiction, Nelson Mandela's autobiography topped the list, followed by Robert Caro's terrific multi-volume biography of Lyndon Johnson, Les Carline's War Histories, bringing up the tale, the Bible.
Right, okay. Can I ask you, in as polite a way as possible, whether you believe all of these responses? Because it occurs to me some of these books are classics, but some of them are very impressive sounding. And, you know, if anyone, say, ticked the box for Proust's Remembrance of Things Past, in French, obviously, I might have bridled at that. But you've obviously believed everything.
I'm not as gullible as all that, but the results look pretty credible to me. By and large, I mean, there's politicians that say that they're reading Potboilers. There's politicians who say that they're reading Harry Potter to their kids. A lot of this feels like a pretty real reading list. And those who've listed Tolstoy, well, you know, it strikes me that they're the kinds of people who might well be making their way through War and Peace.
I can actually definitely believe it of Lindsay Tanner and Nick Minchin. Were some writers more popular with the left or the right?
If a politician tells you they're reading the Bible, then it's a good guess that they're in the coalition. There's no Labour members of Parliament who say that their favourite work is the Bible. Orwell is another interesting one. Orwell is mentioned by both sides of Parliament, but for different works. So coalition members of Parliament are more likely to cite Orwell's fiction works, Animal Farm, 1984, and Labour members are more likely to cite his essays. So there's something for everyone to love in Orwell, that sense of honesty, the simplicity with the written word, but it's a different Orwell that's loved by both sides of politics.
It completely is, isn't it? I mean, the works of fiction are really about totalitarianism, insofar as they're about a big theme, and the non-fiction, well, that's different.
Yes, that's right. And the non-fiction, I guess, is where McGregor and I would probably come down more. Those essays from Orwell are extraordinary and standing the test of time 60 years on.
Now, Julia Gillard is very much the woman of the moment in Australian political life. What did she tell you about her reading habits?
Well, and I should be clear, we asked the politicians what they're reading now and their favourite books. Mm-hmm. And so Julia's bedside table at the moment contains Drew Weston's The Political Brain, a sort of democratic strategy book, and John Le Carre's A Most Wanted Man, a bit of a potboiler.
Mm. He is a writer of literature, I think, not just potboilers, Le Carre, but go on.
All right. So Le Carre has always felt more like a potboiler writer to me, but anyway. Thomas Friedman's The Lexus and the Olive Tree is Julia's favourite non-fiction, and Tim Winton's Cloud Street is her favourite fiction work.
Right. And what about her opposite number, Julie Bishop?
So Julie Bishop is currently reading, again, about US politics, a biography of Condoleezza Rice. Her favourite novel is Ian McEwan's On Chesil Beach. And then her favourite books of all time are Terrible Beauty, A History of the People and Ideas That Shaped the Modern World, and the Langton series as her favourite fiction works.
She told us on Q&A last night that she reads the Bible too, actually. Now, I know you didn't get a response from Kevin Rudd, but we know that he's been a big reader, although I guess he may not have quite as much time these days. Tony Abbott, though, he did get back to you, didn't he?
Indeed. Tony Abbott got back to us to tell us he was currently reading A History of the Jews and Evelyn Waugh's Sword of Honour trilogy, and then also said that his favourite works were Churchill, A Study in Failure, and Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. So there's a couple of Catholic writers there, and also a strong sense of learning from political history.
Did anyone own up to Dan Brown?
We did have a couple of Da Vinci Codes. I can't quite remember which politicians were Da Vinci Code fans, but I don't think they were front benchers. It's sort of interesting that you see the potboilers really are very much being read by backbenchers and sort of high literature by front benchers.
What about, and I always hesitate to ask this, what about Geoffrey Archer, a man whose books take as long as weeks to put together, I understand?
Archer is in there indeed, and he's Simon Birmingham, a Liberal Party member of the backbench, is currently reading Geoffrey Archer.
Now, I know you think it's important, don't you, that our leaders read widely, read deeply. You actually feel really strongly about this.
Absolutely. So there's a lovely line by Keating that reading gives you a sense of your latitudes and your longitudes. It gives you a sense of the sort of fundamental goals that you need to be striving towards, and takes politicians out of the here and now, the sort of tripping over cords in shopping centres, the polls, and focuses them on what matters. Great leadership isn't just about compromise. It's about putting in place a set of policies that will last the test of generations. And you can get that out of books in a way you can't get it out of simple conversations.
Or you can't get it out of, to an extent, magazines and newspapers or just consuming the news either.
Indeed.
Novels give you something that non-fiction doesn't.
Quite. So you can pick up a copy of Foreign Affairs from the 1980s and you realise how much these things have moved on. But you pick up a good novel from the last century, and it can still, you know, Tolstoy still speaks to us strongly with these themes of striving for something beyond oneself, the sort of grander goals. I mean, we don't want politicians to all be head in the sky and just talking about the sort of great mythic values, but reading does give a sort of sense of perhaps even the humility that's required to be a successful politician.
Did anybody read plays or poetry?
There was no poetry coming out of it, which is quite interesting to us. By contrast, when the New York Magazine asked the leaders, Obama talked very much about poets, Emerson, for example, and has been seen recently descending from Air Force One with a book of poetry in his hand, which he then put down to go and play a game of pick-up basketball. In some sense, I think this is, although he's in a bit of trouble at the moment, Obama's great success, his ability to sort of step out of the incredible cacophony of news and ideas to a little solitude and towards sort of being able to focus on the bigger picture.
It takes a determination to do that, though, doesn't it? Politicians are incredible, and especially cabinet ministers and shadow cabinet ministers, they're incredibly busy. Their time is constantly demanded. It takes a discipline to ring-fence some time.
Absolutely. But I think the best politicians realise that if you go back through history and you look at the successful leaders over time, whether they're Gladstones, Disraelis, even the Australian context, the sort of autodidacts like Curtin, Chifley, Keating, Menzies was a great reader. Leadership in politics requires immersing oneself in books and in serious books on a regular basis. It's difficult to think of a single leader who has been a terrific success without at the same time immersing themselves in works of non-fiction, and McGregor and I think fiction as well.
All right, well, I think this could go on and on, but we have to keep moving. Andrew, as always, it's been really interesting. Thanks very much.
Likewise. Thank you, Richard.
Andrew Lee is Professor of Economics at the Australian National University, and he joins us on Life Matters every Tuesday fortnight. And look, you can find a link to Andrew's Power Readers research on the website abc.net.au/rn/Life Matters.